Hello there, and welcome to the INFJ Journey podcast. I am Ariane Kveldjax, an INFJ art writer, podcaster, storyteller, and founder of the INFJJourney.com. No one is you, and that is your power. This could be a pretty good way of getting the gist of the INFJ's life experience. Yet our journey is no walk in the park. It is one of unique challenges and hard to get rewards. One of deep solitude and constant battle to find a way, our way, to turn our unique gifts and our vision into reality. But you are not alone in this world. There are others just like you. On this podcast channel, we discuss all things INFJ. This is our place where we can be what we truly are, share our thoughts, our questions, our dreams, our insights, our epiphanies, our challenges, and our vision. This is our journey too, where you are seen, heard, and understood as well. There's never been a better time than now to share our stories with the rest of the world. So, go ahead and join us on a journey of discovery and endless imagination. We all have two lives. The true, the one we dream of in childhood and go on dreaming of as adults in a substratum of mist. The false, the one we love when we live with others. The practical, the useful, the one we end up being put in a coffin. Fernando Pessoa. We are all in exile, one way or another, and left with an important choice to make in this world. How are we going to make our time worthy of our very special kind of soul? And what are we really ready to give up to make sure we'll keep journeying on the right road to us as INFJs? Because for us, INFJs of the world, there's no instructions manual per se. We're far too unique, too paradoxical, too unpredictable, and too weird to have one to start with. Besides, if there ever were such a thing, chances are we wouldn't use it that much. INFJs would be INFJs and all that. And it might sound a bit pretentious to say that, but for us, logic, observation, and wits could only get us that far. As INFJs, we will all get to the point one day where we will all realize that our real compass is not our intelligence, however very, very, very good. It's not our intelligence. It's not our capacity to spot patterns and make educated guesses about this or about that. But it is our uncanny intuition that will make all our efforts, suffering, anxiety, despair, loneliness, confusion, and sorrow worth our while. Why? Besides guiding us in this world as the Northern Star would, it is our intuition that gives us access to the marvels of the other world. Because I am convinced that our purpose as INFJs is not only to access the invisible dimension of the world, but also to bring back whatever modicum of knowledge, of wisdom, of visionary insights even, that we got, and to use it to create something new, something useful and enlightening to those interested in it. Ultimately, as INFJs, we all share that sort of backstage epiphany, hard drive phenomenon, for lack of better words, almost as if they were at any given time, as Fernando Pessoa once wrote, two INFJ souls in one body, each living his life on a different existential mode. One trying his very best to navigate his way to this world in which pretty much everything isn't made for them. The other one haunted by countless insights, moments, visions, otherworldly feelings, impressions, overwhelming empathy, and deep, often unsettling and life-changing epiphanies. Sounds familiar, my dear fellow INFJs of the world? I bet it does to many of us, if not to all of us. We are INFJs, after all, aren't we? Haunted, fascinated, excited, mesmerized, overwhelmed by our epiphanies, and then taking action, however seemingly modest, on the off chance that maybe one of them would make its way to this world. Epiphany is the name of the game and is also the theme of today's INFJ Journey podcast episode number 3 of season 3 called 7 Epiphanies Worth Sharing. Well, hello, hello, my dear fellow INFJs of the world. How are you today? Well, I hope. I'm so happy to be back with you after a leave of absence due to a very, very bad case of flu, which deprived me totally of my voice for more than a week. And I hope that my voice is okay now, at least maybe a little bit. a little bit shaky still, but I'll do my best to talk the best I can. Sorry about that. I'm still a bit I'm on demand. I'm still a bit sick, and I strongly apologize to all of you for not being there with you last week. But I couldn't. I was very sick, and I didn't have any voice. So sorry again to all of you guys. And but the good news is that your lutin, le petit lutin, your little lutin, is back on the game and delighted to welcome our newest listeners to the INFJ's Journey podcast. Folks from Aurora, sorry if I botched the name, Aurora, Colorado, US of A, Georgia, United Arab Emirates, Waxhaw, North Carolina, USA, Medford, New York, USA, Seattle, Washington, USA, Bath, New York, USA, Baltimore, Maryland, USA, Riga, Latvia, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Arlington, Virginia, USA, Mobile, Alabama, USA, Central Islip, New York, USA, Inglewood, California, USA, Anna, Texas, USA, Bridgeton, St. Michael, Barbados, Coronado, California, USA, and Billfield, Germany. A warm welcome to all of you folks, and of course to our regular listeners from all over the world. Thank you so much to all of you for tuning in each week. And it's truly, it's a pleasure for me to be with all of you guys. It's a real treat for me. And I would like to go back to what I said earlier about INFJs sharing that sort of, between brackets, backstage epiphany, hard drive phenomenon, for lack of better words. And what did I mean by that exactly? This is something as INFJs we will all have to deal with sooner or later. The fear of being insane. It's a very common fear among INFJs. So for seasoned INFJ, I don't have to say anything about that, only to name it. But for young and younger INFJs, if you fear insanity, that means you are an INFJ. Doesn't mean that you are insane. It just means that you are an INFJ. It's typical INFJ stuff. So don't worry, you're not insane. You're just an INFJ. And that's it. It's good news, really. So what did I mean by that? I said we all fear of being insane. It's very common, and it never quite really go away, even when you are older and even when you have more experience, it won't really go away. And I suppose it's only normal to fear that, since the workings of the INFJ's mind are everything but easy to grasp, easy to contemplate, and peaceful to experience. Of course, experiencing epiphany moments has nothing to do with being insane. I have to say that. Especially if you are the kind of INFJ with lots of epiphany moments. It has nothing to do with being insane, okay? Insane, okay? It's like, it's very much part of our DNA. It's, how should I put it? I said that epiphany moment has nothing to do with being insane, but if you are anything like me, some epiphanies could be very confusing, to say the least, distressing even. And epiphany number one, I guess, because this podcast episode number three of season three is called Seven Epiphanies Worth Sharing. So very simply and very logically, epiphany number one could be this backstage epiphany, a hard drive phenomenon that we all go through as INFJs. It is something that we are not always aware of, but one day we become aware of that backstage epiphany, a hard drive phenomenon, and it can be spooky because some of us could get confused about their epiphanies and could equal them with some kind of hallucinations, which they are not. But I'm fully aware that it is not something that we are all aware of right off the bat, simply because we are INFJs. No, it's something that we realize when we get maybe a little bit more experience, more seasoned as INFJs. And I said that this epiphany number one could very much be the discovery that we are, for better or for worse, creatures of epiphanies, so to speak, which means that as long as you are alive, you will go through that moments. And all of that moments, all these moments are not pleasant moments. Some of are very pleasant, very enlightening, very spiritually exciting. But others can be frightening. But anyway, the aim of this podcast episode is to make you aware that you don't have you don't have to go through all these passively, all these epiphanies. You have to be aware of the quality of these epiphanies. You have to be choosy of the ones you are going to explore, even to exploit, so to speak. And epiphany number one is just that, the discovery that we have some kind of hard drive in our operative system. And this hard drive is constantly fed by new epiphanies, small or big, pleasant or unpleasant. And there is nothing you can do about that. And one thing that you shouldn't do about that is to freeze and to be afraid and to reject them. It is normal, but it demands from you an attitude of awareness, an attitude of cleverness, even in a way that you are supposed to choose. You are supposed to see which one of those are interesting for you. How are they going to make you perhaps not a happy INFJ, but a fulfilled, in a way, INFJ, a more aware, more balanced, more intelligent, in a spiritual way, INFJ. So this backstage epiphany hard drive is is really a discovery. It's an epiphany in a way, in itself. Okay, and as INFJs, we are visited people. We are people that disconnect in a way from reality quite often and connect to those kind of spiritual aha moments that we all experience as INFJs. So we are visited people and our real home. And I guess it's also part of epiphany number one, our real home. I am convinced of that. Maybe some of you will disagree, and it's okay with that. Even if you want to comment, it's okay. Do that on my website at www.infjjourney.com. But I mean, I am convinced that our real home as INFJs is not a physical home, even though we might have a home, but it's not the real home. It's not our real home. Home. No, not really, not ever, according to me, of course. Our real home is our mind and the deep insights we get each time we have an epiphany, almost as if they were at any given time. As Fernando Pessoa once wrote, two INFJ souls in one body, each living his life on a different existential mode. And I know it can be scary to have a restless mind, especially with regards to our sleep. As INFJ, we don't sleep that much. And I'm sorry about that. I know it can be scary, and we don't have a switch off button, especially if we don't really know how to use it and how to use our epiphany moments and how to capitalize on them. And so what do we do with that backstage epiphany hard drive? What can we do? And I don't know about you guys, but after years spent doubting my sanity and being clueless about how to use them, my epiphanies, I mean, I finally came up with a better way not only cope with my restless mind, but also to use those epiphanies to boost my being, to boost my creativity, to guide me on my INFJ journey. The universe, I mean, what I would like to do with you today in that podcast episode is making you, for those who are not, making you aware that as an INFJ, you will never resort to the same kind of tools, of techniques, of means, of whatever that can help you to guide you in your INFJ life. Nothing that is regular, and I don't say that in a dismissive way, just it's a fact. Nothing that is meant to regular people, meaning by that non-INFJ people, none of these things will work with you, okay? So you have to face that fact that if you want to travel the best possible way on your INFJ journey, you will have to resort to other kinds of tools, to other kinds of techniques, of inspiration, means of whatever kind of help or support that can make you that can help you in your journey. And I would like to give you a very short example of one of the tools I use as an INFJ, which is akin to an epiphany, can help me. So I'm going to read you a very, very, very short excerpt from one of my acrostic writings that I have used in my INFJ journey once I wrote it. So bear with me for maybe 1 minute, and I'm going to read you that short ekphrastic writing that I wrote a couple of years before. The universe within reach, in the tones of this mesmerizing quartic light, the swell of the waves and the salty scent of the sea, the ballad of seagulls high in the milky sky, this new exile on the shore of this unknown sea. Indifference and compassion, everything comes to us, enters and leaves us with the same feeling of irreparable loss, the same pathetic and poignant beauty of things. Everything we see, the universe grants us access to, is part of an invisible and moving tapestry each INFJ can use to build their own metaverse. This short excerpt of a ekphrastic writing I wrote a couple of years before was called and still is called Paysage de pluie in French, and it is something that I have used in my life to guide me, to inspire me, to make me fully aware. It's not only understand, but aware of the fact that for me, and I suspect for many of us INFJs of the world, one of the best ways to guide ourselves is through our epiphany, our epiphanies, is through our visions, is through the images that appear in our mind, in our eyes, because they are so potent, they are so poignant, they are so intense, so true, so stripped of anything that is not the real universe we all live in as INFJs, that we have, we must, at least it is my credo, if I may say so, we must trust them. Maybe not all of them, but we must treat them with utter respect and be aware of the quality of these, because I am convinced once again that they are our true guides. And because we are not and never will be regular people, using regular tools when we are not regular people doesn't make sense. What makes sense is using what is specific to our INFJ DNA, to our INFJ brain, to our INFJ soul. And epiphany number two is that despite the profound and painful solitude that goes with being an INFJ, all INFJ feel solitude, and you can't escape that. Doesn't mean that you are lonely. It means that you are in the state of solitude, because loneliness and solitude, these are two different things, okay? I already explained in former episodes the difference between the two. And we all go as INFJs through solitude. But despite that, we are all of us, related on a spiritual and emotional level. Pretty much like in the movie, James Cameron's movie Avatar, not only are we all connected to one another, but with our natural intuition and our empathy, we can tap into this invisible network of energy, of emotions, of ideas to nourish our visions. And this is one of the many, many paradoxes in any INFJ life, being so painfully, so harshly alone so often, yet being literally surrounding with swarms of other people's unsolicited emotion, even though these people might be INFJ, but we are very much alone and very much in the multitude of all beings, especially the INFJ ones. And this is epiphany number two. And for us INFJs, the ultimate challenge, I guess, is to find a way to apply this natural compassion and empathy that we naturally have towards the people who cross path with us. And because if our compassion, if our compassion does not include ourselves, then not only it is incomplete, but it is pointless. And it is very important to understand that being alone, feeling alone, even though we are connected to one another, but on a spiritual and emotional levels, being all that, it is, how should I put it? It doesn't mean that you are not worthy of your own compassion. It is completely the opposite that should apply to you. Meaning by that, because you are so in the solitude as INFJs, you have to start with you, with yourself. You have to apply your empathy, your compassion, your liking of what you are to yourself first and foremost. And then you can go to other people, connect with them, share with them, help them, accompany them, whatever them, but start with yourself. You are alone, but you are worthy of your own compassion. And this is probably one of the hardest things to understand as INFJs. I know if I only refer to myself, it took me around two-thirds of my life to understand that. To understand that it is normal to feel solitude, but it's not equal with loneliness, and that I should apply the compassion that I have for all beings, I should apply it first to myself. And it is very difficult to understand because we so desperately want to help others. But how about ourselves? How about starting with ourselves? Doesn't mean that we are not going to do the same for other people. Of course not. But it means that we are going to start with ourselves. There is a saying in French that goes like that. On n'est jamais mieux servi que par soi-même. You are never better served by yourselves. It means that you have to start with yourself and then spread your empathy, spread your kindness, spread your willingness to help other people around yourself. But if you forget yourself in the process, then it's pointless. And like it or not, as INFJs, we are part of this invisible network we all get access to. So we are not just witnesses, emotional sponges, or haunted empaths put to the work to help others. We also are healers, but we also are very much in need of healing, in need of compassion, in need of love. And epiphany number three, our brain is the gift that keeps giving. We better trust it at least most of the time, and take very good care of it. I don't know about you guys, but when I was a child, I realized that nobody could or would keep up with me. That is to say, with my INFJ's brain, way too weird, too deep, too intense for non-INFJ people. And as INFJs, we are all used to hearing that our intuition is our best asset. And that's true, only it's just part of the truth. Our mysterious and amazing, yet often confusing, no doubt about this, INFJ's intuition needs the power of our brain to make sense of what we see and to help us to take action when our visions might numb us sometimes, because it does happen, being numbed by our own epiphanies, by our own visions, because they are so incredibly powerful. We can end up being numbed by them. And as INFJs, we all have different lives, of course, but there is one common denominator among us, and that is solitude. I spoke about solitude earlier. Extreme solitude. In fact, if not constant solitude. And solitude, not loneliness, as I said, but there's that, solitude. But there's also intense creativity, imagination, connections, the priceless capacity all INFJs have to create our own reality, our own universe, our own metaverse at will. And as INFJ, you will be isolated, alone, afraid, lost, full of doubts, torn between what your mind can envision and what your intuition brings to your attentions. And perhaps there will even come a time when you realize that what's in your INFJ's head is far, far more interesting than what is in the real world. What will you do then? Which one will you choose? And if you want to have both, how are you going to do that? Epiphany number 4. For us, INFJs, everything we know and experience about the world is done through some sort of invisible curtain. I know it sounds weird to say that, but I suspect this is something many INFJs experience. What do I mean by experiences the world through a sort of invisible curtain? And what I mean is that because our imagination, our intuition, our visions, the way we look at the world as INFJs, because of that simple reality, simply won't do. It's not enough. It's difficult to summarize my thought. It's not the kind of reality that we can easily possess. And I would like to ask you a question, my dear fellow INFJs of the world. When you look at something, maybe you understand better what I mean by that, by curtain, invisible curtain. When you look at something or someone, when you read a book, when you watch a movie, when you listen to a story, what is the first thing you do? Do you know? If you are anything like me, I bet your first reaction when you do one of these things is to go after what's not there. What could have been if, you know, the famous what if that all INFJs have in their minds. What if? Connecting the dots, adding another story. Like, you know, something happens and in the aftermath of that thing, something else will or could happen, and etc., etc. And that is precisely what I mean by invisible curtain, because we look at the world through our own prism, and this prism is a prism that is both very much poignantly visual, but also highly spiritual, highly, meaning by that of the spirit, highly, what's the right word? Highly, help me guys, highly imaginary. And reality won't do, in a sense that reality is not enough for us, because we have that capacity to see all things around, to see the what if, to see the yes, but what if that thing or that thing and blah, blah, blah. And what's not there? Yes, that thing happened, but I can connect the invisible dots and I can imagine something else, and I can experience something else. And starting from what I just saw or heard or listened or read, there is something else. And here we are looking at the world through some kind of invisible curtain, because I said invisible because nobody but us, INFJs of the world, can see it. And this reality that is invisible for all other people than But us, we can see it. It's invisible. It's like a moving curtain. We can see through. We can imagine through. We can connect through. We can what if through, so to speak. And this is a privilege, and it is also epiphany number four. Everything we INFJs know and experience about the world, including ourselves, is done through that sort of invisible curtain that nobody but us can see and see through to. And this is what I do. Pretty much everything that I look at, experience, I do that like through an invisible curtain. And things do not really make sense to me. Only they do when I do that. And pretty much everything, in fact, as long as it could make sense to me. And I don't know about you guys, but I cannot look at the world just like that, just like a regular folk, like regular folks. I can. It's not something that I do on purpose. It's just something that I do, period. And I suspect many of us do that too. And it is the kind of experience one might have when looking through the keyhole, but not in the sexual kind of way. Not so much as to peep, but rather to get some kind of partial image, partial fragment of reality. Often is much more powerful than the whole reality. And it's like what the 18th century Japanese poet Kobayashi Hisa summarized in his beautiful haiku: how beautiful through a hole in the partition, the Milky Way. And now epiphany number five. Time for us is a gate that can keep our fear of insanity at bay. Why is that? Well, because we have, all INFJs have, an elephant memory. We never forget things. And for us, it's not even an option. So imagine that if we cannot somehow explore time, experience time in a way that time becomes our ally, that time could provide us with a method, a way, a technique, call it what you want, that would keep us sane, that will prevent us from losing our footings in our very own minds. And everything we have lived, good or bad, as INFJs, we can revisit it. And for some of us, to expand on it, to add another story to the old ones, hence the fact that I said before, time can give us a way, can keep our fear of being insane at bay. And as INFJs, many, if not all of us, have had a crappy childhood. By the way, if you are young INFJs and you are listening to this podcast, if you're still young and you're having a crappy childhood, it's normal. I'm not saying to you that it's okay be having a crappy childhood. Of course not, but it's normal. All of us, not all of us, but so many of us have had a crappy childhood. It's part of the package of being an INFJ, okay? So as INFJ, many of us have had that crappy childhood, unfortunately. And be that as it may, it is precisely because of that we have developed some kind of special relation with time. Time for us is like a deep dive into our own minds, our own words, a floating, elusive, beautiful, upsetting, yet so inspiring, immaterial experience. Like in what I have called, because it's a very private kind of experience that I have had, but I have called it the dream of Frank. In the clearing of a spring forest, one of my most precious memory, a simple picnic on a beautiful day with my family. my mother and my brothers, an overworldly light, the flowers everywhere, the colors, the wind, the forest scents, everything was beautiful. Everything was, between bracket rights, everything was so beautiful, so ephemeral, so poignant, long gone, yet still here. And my brother Frank stranded in this meander of time forever here. And now epiphany number 6. Do not wait to reach perfection to live your INFJ life. That one I'm going to repeat. Do not wait to reach perfection to live your INFJ life. And that's a biggie. That's a biggie. Why? Because as INFJs, we are all obsessed with perfection. We are perfectionists. We breathe perfection. We seek perfection. We want perfection. We don't stop at nothing unless we can reach that kind of perfection. Everything about us INFJs screams perfection. Yet perfection is not of this world. So waiting to reach perfection before you are going to live your INFJ life is crazy, because you are never, ever, ever, and I include myself in the process, going to reach it. So obviously we are obsessed with perfection. Obviously we are always searching for it. We are always trying to improve on it. Crazy that we are crazy that way, trying to improve on perfection. And obviously none of us will ever reach it. So it's crazy, very unhealthy and very unreasonable to wait for it. And I'm not even sure that it is a healthy goal to be having to start with. But as INFJs, we are always on a quest. We are quest people. We are always on a quest to something, and our very, very high standards in life make us perpetually unsatisfied with our lives and with ourselves. And I must confess, I was that bad. And believe me, I was that bad. And I was pretty much like a free diver, waiting to find the perfect spot in my ocean of would-be perfection, to breathe and to enjoy the scenery. It's crazy, crazy. Don't be a free diver, guys. Whatever you do, don't be a free diver. Enjoy your life. Enjoy everything that you can get access to, however small, however insignificant. Enjoy. Enjoy the ride. Doesn't mean that you are not going to have your quest for perfection, that you are not going to be haunted by your vision, by your epiphany, and so on and so forth. But enjoy the ride meanwhile, okay? And now epiphany number 7, the last one. Do not choose between fiction or reality. Just because you don't know how to use them, or because you dread loneliness, do not choose between fiction and reality. Some of us, especially young INFJs, might be tempted to dismiss fiction in the hope that it will be easier for us to settle into reality and to be accepted more easily by non-INFJ people. But unfortunately, or fortunately for us, it doesn't work like that. I'd rather think it is fiction, our most powerful tool to better grasp reality, assuming that is reality that we are interested in. Not all of us are interested in reality, but assuming it is reality we want to better grasp, I posit that it is fiction, our most powerful tool to grasp it. And I suppose many among us, INFJs of the world, might even have a hard time telling the difference between fiction and reality. I know I was like that. And it happened to me, and perhaps to you too, my dear fellow INFJs of the world. I thought about it a lot, actually. I wanted to understand what's so special about fiction, because I'm a fiction addict. I'm a fiction, how to best put it? I'm an addict to fiction, and I write fiction, and I'm obsessed with fiction because to me, it's so much more powerful than reality. Doesn't mean that I dismiss reality, but I have my sort of inner hierarchy, and fiction is on the top. Reality is underneath fiction. Speaking only about myself, but maybe you can relate to that, my dear fellow energies of the world. Don't know. Let me know if you want. And so I thought a lot about it. And as I said, I wanted to understand what's so special about fiction. What do we search for in fiction, even if we are not always aware of that sort of quest? Because as INFJs, we are clearly truth seekers. So the obvious question is, what can fiction give us that truth cannot? And I dove deep into that question until I realized this wasn't the proper question to ask in the first place. There wasn't any sort of face-off between fiction and reality. Never was, actually. Fiction, in fact, and this is why it is epiphany number 7, fiction, in fact, is the entry point to clarity of mind. It gives us a solid footing into our own thinking, into our own world. And that's why I don't want you, my dear fellow INFJs, to choose between fiction and reality. You can have both. Why should you choose between those two? And fiction, as I said, in fact, it's the entry point to clarity of mind. And it gives us something very solid to elaborate from, to go on from. It gives us a solid mental and spiritual footing into our own reality, into our own invisible reality, which can be akin to fiction, if you follow me. And as I said, you don't have to choose. You can have both. And beyond that, into fiction giving us an entry point to clarity of mind, and beyond that, into the quality of our own perceptions. Think about that. It is paradoxically the most subversive tool to see the universe as it is, eyes wide open. Only those eyes are your inner eyes. And because ultimately, as INFJs, seeing the world is what we're all about, isn't it? What William Blake so beautifully captured in his Auguries of Innocence: to see a world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a white flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. So that's it for today, folks. I do hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode number 3 of season 3, called 7 Epiphanies Worth Sharing. And I hope that it offered you some value. And again, I apologize for my leave of absence due to a bad case of flu, and for my funny voice during this podcast episode. I appreciate your listening, and if you want, you can go and leave a comment on my website at www.infjjourney.com. And if you like this podcast episode, feel free to rate it and re-review it, and to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. And for those of you who wish to support my work, especially my new project called The Weather Outside, Le Temps qu'il fait dehors, go to my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/infjjourney. And also, like as always, make sure to download your freebies that I designed especially for you. All the links will be in the show notes as usual. And until next week, take very good care of yourself. Don't catch a flu of your INFJ self, and bye for now.